Father, as we come this morning, we all know about prayer. We all offer prayers, and I think most of us as believers have a pretty good idea what prayer is about. But I pray this morning, Lord, that you will just open that door another little crack further and give us another little glimpse, Lord, into your greatness and into why it is that when we pray, you listen, and that when we pray, great things come to pass. Thank you, Lord, for indeed the privilege of prayer, the access of prayer, the results of prayer. Thank you, Father, for this great privilege. And just work in our hearts to give us a better understanding of prayer, what it means, what it is, and why it is that when we pray, you answer. Father, just open our hearts and minds today to your truth. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you are among those who like to fill out the blanks or whatever, on the insert there, now would be the time to get that. We continue today on the issue of authority, which we will be talking on throughout this month. And so today we come to the issue. Last week we talked about cleaning house. And he says, it says there in a number of those scriptures, get rid of this, get rid of that, get rid of it. Well, that means we have the authority to get rid of it. We not only have the authority to get rid of it, we are commanded to get rid of it and to use the authority that God has given us as believers in our lives to get rid of those things that we know do not please Him. Because those things reside in us, especially after we're a believer. They reside in us by our permission. If they did not have our permission, they would not be there. And so it is time for believers to rise up. You don't have control over what someone else does, but you have control in those areas, and we can give the enemy walking orders, and the enemy has to comply. And so that's the authority that the Lord has given us as believers, and we need to be using it. Now today is the issue of prayer. Does the Lord hear your prayers? Does the Lord answer your prayers? When you pray, do you really believe the Lord is going to work? How much answered prayer do you see in the average week? And when the Lord answers, do you have any idea why this works? Of course, I think a lot of us do know about the name of Jesus, and we want to talk a little bit about that today. But prayer is a right and a privilege that has been given to those who believe. I really hate to break this news to people, but God doesn't listen to every prayer. And that's a separate message for another day. But He does listen to the prayers of His own that are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that are His children, that are born again, and that walk with Him. And those are the prayers that He hears. Now, He'll hear the sinner's prayer when they pray in repentance and pray for forgiveness and cleansing and to receive His free gift of salvation. But prior to salvation, other than asking for salvation and cleansing, we have no rights to approach the Heavenly Father. But for the believer, so do you understand what a privilege this is? That this is a daily privilege. We should never take this privilege for granted. You know, it's easy to take for granted the things, you know, running to mom and dad. Hey, can I have an ice cream cone? Hey, can I borrow the car keys? It's easy to take that stuff for granted. Do you realize how blessed you are that you have access to mom and dad and you can just say, hey, may I do this? And most of the time, they'll say yes. Of course, we only remember the times they say no, don't we? And we're a lot that way with our Heavenly Father, but what a privilege as believers. This is a privilege specifically for believers. And when we understand how prayer works and what prayer is, it will help us to have greater faith when we pray? Because I hear a lot of people, well, I don't know, you know, even as believers, oh, I'm just so unworthy, I'm just so, and so we ask all timid-like, you know, and all of this. Now, we don't make demands of God. He is God, He is supreme, He is sovereign. We never make demands of God. But can we ask freely, and can we ask boldly? Well, it says so. Approach the throne of grace boldly. Why? Because we have a high priest like the Lord Jesus Christ. You have Jesus there. And He has all authority. And He's there at the Father's right hand specifically interceding in our behalf. So ask boldly. Most of our kids don't have too much trouble being bold in what they ask, right? I heard some more about that this week. Yeah, so-and-so, they don't mind asking mom and dad to help out when things get a little tight, you know. And it's good that we have that kind of confidence, and that is the kind of confidence that we need to have with the Lord. So prayer is a wonderful privilege, and God wants us to maximize our prayer and to pray, believing, and to get results. And this is part of the normal Christian life. So I want to, a lot of this, in fact, I'm sure all of this we already know. But let's go over some of the basics this morning. And let's keep in mind the issue of authority. Why are our prayers heard? Why does believing prayer work? Have you ever thought about that? Here are some of the reasons. Number one, because our prayers are offered in the name of Jesus. Now you say, what is the big deal about the name of Jesus? Well, the name of Jesus is what gives me access to the Father. Once I am His child, once I am born again, once I belong to Him, I now am given a little plastic card that says Jesus. So to speak. It is what gains access. When I go to the Chartway Federal Credit Union, I have a little card, and it's got some information on that little strip, and when I stick it in there, it gives me access. If I don't have the card, guess what? If the card's got the wrong information on it, doesn't work. It works because the right information is on there. The name of Jesus. So, He hears us because we come in the name of Jesus. And some might, I think I've heard it said, well, you don't have to actually say that phrase every time. Well, you don't have to, but I think it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder when we come in prayer. And it shouldn't just be by rote. Well, in Jesus' name. In fact, that part probably ought to be near the beginning of our prayer many times. Father, I approach You in the name of Jesus, Your Son, who died on the cross, who shed His blood, who bought my soul, who cleansed me, who I belong to and who I own, Your Son that is at Your right hand. In His name, I now approach the throne of grace. Because we have to remember that that is what gives us the right and the privilege. And we have to remember that, you know, this is a privilege. It's not to be abused. It's to be used wisely. Is it to be used boldly? Yes. But it is to be used for kingdom business. It is to be used for the Father's will and that He might be glorified. And even when I'm asking something for myself, I'm asking it for myself in that sense as we would say it. But because I belong to Him, it is ultimately for His honor, for His glory. And if it isn't for His honor and in His glory, and if I in good conscience can't use the name of Jesus and attach Jesus' name to it in asking for it, then I probably don't have any business asking for it in the first place. Can I hear an amen? So He hears us, not because I'm Amos Eby, not because I'm the son of missionaries, not because I'm the son of Luke and Gladys Eby, who knew Him and walked with Him. He hears me because I approach on the basis of the name of His Son. Why does that name have authority and why does it have meaning? Well, here's number two. Our prayers are offered. He hears us because our prayers are offered on the basis of His authority. That would be Jesus' authority. Our prayers are offered on the basis of His authority. Did you hear Jesus who says, just before He returns to heaven, all authority. The word power there is not power as in might. It's authority. All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Therefore go and make disciples. So it is on the authority. That's why His name is so important, because it represents Him and His authority. It is on the basis of His authority, which includes His high priestly office, where He is there making intercession. Now, when Jesus makes intercession for me to the Father in heaven, do you know what basis He makes it on? He Himself as my high priest. When Jesus makes a request for me, do you know what basis He makes it on? He makes it on the basis of something very specific. He makes it on the basis of His own blood sacrifice for me. Without that, even Jesus would not have the authority to say, Father, would You do this for Amos Eby? Hence, the importance of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even His own prayers for me are based on His own sacrifice for me, which He did at Calvary. And that work was complete. He said, it is finished. It is done. It is complete. It is a complete work. How many believe His work was complete? His work was complete. It cannot be added to. It cannot be improved on. That's why when I come, no matter how imperfect I may be, I have instant access, because my access isn't based on how perfect I am in my flesh and in myself. It is based on what Jesus Christ, on His credentials, based on His blood sacrifice that satisfied God's requirements forever. And when I come in His name, I'm coming in His authority, and I'm coming based on what He did. Hallelujah. That'll get you fired up. That'll get you believing when you pray. Because the old devil, he always loves, oh, you're not worthy. You're this. You just did that. You just thought that. You just said that. You don't have the right to come to the throne. Oh, yes, I do. Because I come in the name of Jesus. And the same Jesus that forgave me the day that I first came to Him for salvation and cleansed me and turned me around and changed me and transformed me is the same Jesus that just forgave me again for what I just did. And because it's based on that, I still have access. Thank you very much. Satan, get lost. And we go, and that way the enemy can't fool us, and he can't bind us, and he can't keep us from being effective in prayer. So when I come on the basis of His authority, His high priestly office, His blood sacrifice, and His perfect obedience to the Father, which is why He could offer Himself in the first place. Hallelujah. Number three, God hears us because our prayers are offered on the basis of our union. I used that phrase again last week. Our union with Jesus Christ. We are in union with Jesus Christ. If we are sons of God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, what's the next word? Heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. So when I come using His name, but I come based on the union with Him. Hey, that will get me in. That will get me in anywhere. My union with Jesus Christ. I don't have any right just of myself, but because I'm in union with Him, oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Would you just let anybody from off the street come in, just walk up, you don't even know who they are, in a baseball cap and say, I'm here to work on your air conditioner. But if they come up with shields, heating, and air conditioning. And it's Greg Shields, or it's one of his employees, and the company logo is on the truck, and you already called him and made that appointment, and he says, I'm here to work on your air conditioner. Then do you let him work on it? Absolutely. But what gives that person the authority? The fact that they are in union with that particular organization to do that particular thing. It's not because just as a private citizen, they have that right or that authority. They have that right through their association with that particular group. And that's how it is with prayer. So there, it's because of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are in Him. Number four, our prayers are offered from a... Now, let me stop right here. When I say our prayers are offered this way, I'm speaking ideally, and I'm assuming. Okay? I'm assuming that this is how, when we come, we pray, because it's the biblical model. Okay? So, just to clear that up. Because our prayers are offered from a what? Forgiving heart. Jesus said, and when you stand praying, forgive. So that your Father in heaven. Because an unforgiving heart can block my prayers getting through or being heard. Because I've been forgiven everything. But if I'm harboring something against someone else, until that is dealt with, my prayers may very well be blocked because I'm being a hypocrite and I'm adhering to a double standard. I'm saying, Lord, I'll take all the forgiveness you can give me every time I mess up. But this person over here, I'm going to hold them accountable. The Lord says, when you're willing to let go of that, then we can talk again. Number five, because our prayers are offered in keeping with God's plan, purpose, and promises. I wish some of you could have heard. I listen to that Lutheran Hour every Sunday morning from 8 to 8:30 on 8:50 a.m. And I wish you could have heard this minister this morning going through a young lady who comes to him years ago and says, I'm going to marry, so-and-so and I are getting married. And he says, well, are you engaged? No. Are you going together? No. And that was a really interesting story. I cannot reproduce. But he reproduces how, and he finally found out what was really going on here. The bottom line was, I prayed about it, and I know it's God's will that I marry him, even though he doesn't love me and doesn't feel the same way. And because I've told the Lord that that's what I want. And I told the Lord all the reasons why he ought to be listening to me. Well, he said the bottom line of the prayer was, Lord, not your will, but mine be done. And now, we might be sitting there and we might be saying, I never do that. Oh, really? Are you really, really, really sure that in some of our prayers, that if you really sifted through it, that the bottom line sometimes wouldn't be that or mighty close to that? No, Lord, only. And as mature believers, we should be at that point. Lord, if this really isn't your will for me at this time, then I don't want it. I'm asking you because I would like it. But since I know that you know things that I don't know, I could get very personal on that one. But since you know things that I don't know, if it isn't your will, then I don't want it. So Lord, I'm offering my petition. But I want my petitions to be in line with what? In keeping with your plan and in keeping with your purpose. So if this is not your will, help me to be willing to listen. Help me to be willing to see. Because there are many things in life that we are just convinced short term. I have just got to do this. I have just got to have this. I've heard people even say, if I don't have that, I'll die. Well, you might get that and you might die. Have you thought about that? But in any event, as believers, we want to ask in keeping with His plan and in keeping with His purpose. And you know that passage there from John. If we ask anything according to His will, then we know that He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, then we basically as already have the things that we have petitioned of Him. Number six, our prayers are offered to Him from a position of daily fellowship. Now come on, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on this one. But how many? We get busy, life takes over, we kind of push the Lord into the background, we still believe, we still say in our heart, yeah, I believe in the Lord, I love the Lord. Don't darken the door of a church for 4 years, something really big happens, somebody gets sick, this happens, lose her job, that happens, something else happens, and all of a sudden we're on our knees, Lord, 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 help me, Lord. Have any of us ever done that? And as believers, maybe it's not to that extreme. Maybe it's a week we're talking about. But we haven't been walking in daily fellowship. And yet the minute we're in need, we just want the Lord to just jump and instantly do something. And He is so gracious and He is so great that guess what? Many times He does. But if He does, just understand it's because of His mercy that He did that. Not that we ever deserve it, but not because you had really provided a basis for it. And so it is important that as believers that we walk in daily fellowship with the Lord. I mean, do you equate walking in daily fellowship with the Lord with being some kind of a fanatic or some kind of a goody-two-shoes or something like that? If so, you've got the wrong idea. You've got the wrong conception. But should we be in fellowship with the Lord daily through prayer and through His Word? Should we? I'm just saying, should we? And the prayers that come where we've already been in conversations with the Lord on a daily basis, then when the big things come along, it's a whole lot easier because we have an ongoing conversation with the Lord. And when these things come along, then it's a whole lot easier. And then what's even worse, then sometimes the Lord does move in our behalf. And then when the crisis is over, what do we do? I'm going to stop right there on that one. And seventh and last, and very, very importantly, our prayers are offered from a believing, trusting heart. And that's in the passage that we read from Mark. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you, or verily I say unto you, it would say in the King James, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Here's the punchline. Therefore, Jesus says, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. If you don't really believe the Lord is capable of doing this, then why even offer the prayer in the first place? Because the only kind of prayer God hears is and really answers, even as believers, is believing prayer. I remember Costa de Ir years ago, he was a Bible teacher, and he made this opening remark to one of his teachings. God does not answer prayer. And then he said, before you start, you know, going ballistic, just hear me out. And the gist of that teaching was, he answers believing prayer. He doesn't just answer words that are spoken in some certain order or something. The Lord gave me an illustration that I think might help us to understand why the Lord hears and answers our prayers as believers. How many can hear that air conditioner? Oh, I have to preach over it almost every Sunday in the summertime. Have you seen those air conditioners? I mean, those air conditioners are massive. Those air conditioners, their capacity, I believe, is described in tons. Am I right about that? That's how massive those air conditioners are. Listen, these air conditioners are so big that oftentimes in a building, when the AC first cuts on, what do you notice happens in the building? The lights temporarily dim. Have you ever seen that? Do you know why those lights temporarily dim? Because they're pulling so much juice. When we had the rewiring done in this church some years ago, we had to have it done in three stages, and we had the power capacity coming in from the street kicked up to I don't know how many amps, you know. A whole bunch of amps, so that we would be able to handle the load from large ACs and things like that without overloading some wiring or blowing some fuses. These things are enormous. You can hear, even all you're hearing is the fan. Just think the compressor. How much power it takes to get that compressor going. These things pull current like you wouldn't believe. And if you doubt it at all, you ought to just take a look at the Virginia power bill at the end of the month. But do you know what controls those air conditioners? It's a little thermostat right there that has a little LCD display that works off of a couple AA batteries, and that I imagine the amperage is measured in milliamperes. That little old thermostat by itself can't do anything. But it is hooked in to a larger switch that trips the big switch that turns on the air conditioner, and consequently, even though that thermostat just has so little current, you would need a spatial tester to even be able to measure it. That thermostat literally tells those big air conditioner units when to cut on, when to cut off, how long to run, what temperature to maintain in the building and everything. The thermostat is in control. And when I kneel to pray before the Lord, and I'm saying, Lord, please move this mountain. And I'm so little compared to that mountain, you can't even find me on a Google map on Zoom. I'm nothing but a flea. And I'm on my knees and I'm praying and I'm saying, Lord, move that mountain. That mountain is so huge that even if I and everybody that I know, I got a pick and a shovel and shoveled from now until we fell dead, we wouldn't be able to even hardly make a dent in that mountain. And yet I'm kneeling there saying, Lord, would you move this mountain? Will he do it? See, it doesn't matter that I'm nothing but a flea. Because I'm a believing flea that is in union with Jesus Christ. And he has all power and all authority. So, what's the most powerful thing on planet Earth? I think it's a believing saint on their knees. We had the service for Joanne the other day. A lot of you knew Joanne. Very practical, down-to-earth person. But I was sitting over there, and Jane and Alan and I were and Bill was over there, and we were talking about the service, and I said, what about music? And they said, well, there's a couple of three songs she won't sing. And one of them went into the other room and brought a plaque out that had a key on it, and it said, prayer is the key to heaven. Hadn't heard that song in a long time. How many know that song? I know it because we had a record with it on years ago by Jack Holcomb. How many remember Jack Holcomb? Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. Words are so easily spoken, but a prayer without faith is like a boat without an oar. Have faith when you speak to the Master. That's all He asks you for. Prayer is the key to heaven, and faith unlocks the door. I don't have any authority by myself, but I'm hooked into the one that has all authority. And that's why prayer works. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for every heard prayer and every answered prayer. Some of us think that when we pray, You don't hear because we don't see results right away. We haven't looked in our own hearts to see if there's some unforgiveness there. We haven't looked to see if maybe what we're asking is a self-willed thing, that we're trying to convince ourselves is a good thing, but it isn't really Your will, and we're asking contrary to Your will. Or we just haven't been living in fellowship with You, and You love us and we're saved, but there's some broken fellowship there. Or we may just have a false humility where we're like, we're only looking at the fact that we're nothing, and we're not looking at the fact of who we're plugged into. Whatever that may be, Lord, I pray that You would increase our prayer life and increase the effectiveness of our prayer life as we spend our time with You, maybe physically on our knees, maybe not physically on our knees, but with a heart that is knelt before You in prayer daily. But help us to understand what a privilege it is. And help us to understand, Lord, as never before, how many things You do by prayer and how You want our prayers and You desire our prayers and You actually do act in response to believing prayers that are offered in Jesus' name and based on Him and in keeping with Your purpose. Increase our faith and help us to understand again that while we may just be a flea in the big scheme of things, we're connected to the One that has all power. Thank You, Lord, and help us to use well this tremendous privilege that You've given us, to not misuse it, to not neglect it, but to exercise it regularly in keeping with Your will, Your plan, and Your word. These things we ask. I ask it for me, and I ask it for everybody in our church family, that You'll give us that kind of prayer. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.